Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Love Radio Network worldwide. LoveRadioNetwork.com. Educational, inspirational, trending topics, and the hottest hits. With award-winning talk show host and personality. And you made us number one. Thank you. Love Radio Network, building a network of love.
Mondays, you have tuned in to LoveRadioNetwork.com. This is the final authority, and the final authority airs live every Monday. Every Monday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, again, we air live every Monday, and we're going to continue in what we covered on last week and go from this as part two on the topic matter, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. And we deal with evil, we dealt with the word evil that's mentioned even throughout the Old Testament. When we think of the word evil, you think of something that's, you know, just viciously wicked. And that can be the case depending upon the context. But the word evil also has to do with any form of calamity or a crisis or a pandemic or epidemic, all right, that producing a fear. People begin to panic. And so we're dealing with I will fear no evil. And so we're going to deal with our foundational text in a moment. We're going to play first. I'm going to give you the phone number to call in case you have a question or you want to make a comment, or maybe you might want to express a different view. So we're going to pray first and go from there. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We honor you as the almighty living true God. We thank you, O Father, for thy word. We ask, O God, that you would grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, your beloved Son, with whom you will please, and in the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. Father, we honor your Son by honoring you. We confess the Lordship of Christ. And Father, we believe on him and accept the fact that he loved us and that he laid his life down for us and satisfied the divine justice for us, paid our sin debt in full, died for our sins, shed his blood for us, was buried, and rose again from among the dead, and is alive forevermore. It's in his name that we pray, clothed in his righteousness. We ask, O God, your word would increase and abound and multiply in us and through us to and for the glorification and the exaltation of the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so now, quickly, if you have a question or you want to make a comment, or maybe you might have a different view that you might want to express, please feel free to call the area code 516-531-9623. The number to call in is 516-531-9623. Now, after you are connected, once you got that number, you are connected, you can tune into the show. But the moment you want to ask your question, please press the number one. And then once you press the number one, my producer then will welcome you and connect you to my line, the live show, the final authority, and then I will go from there to see what your question or your comment may be. Okay. So I also want to mention that at any point in time, if you desire and if you are in a position to and you want to make a financial contribution or donation of any amount of your choice, freely with no compulsion, no pressure, no psychological manipulation, and you want to give, please just go to www.loveradionetwork. The word love is L-U-B as in victory. www.loveradionetwork.com. FinalAuthority.com. Scroll down to Final Authority. You'll see a donation button, and whatever you desire to give. Thank you so kindly. But we're just so delighted that you called in the show and that you tuned in to support the show by just tuning in and listening. Okay, so we're going to deal with, go right into it. I will fear no evil. My foundational text was out of Psalms 23, and I want to go through a little recap of what I covered out of Psalms 23. And this is what is called a Psalm of David. David was a shepherd boy, and he grew up shepherding sheep. He took care of sheep. He would provide for the sheep. He would sustain the sheep by feeding them, by leading them, by speaking to them, by protecting them from wolves, from lions, from bears. And so as a shepherd, the shepherd so loved his sheep that he would lay his life down just to protect his sheep. And so here in Psalms 23, David makes some very profound statements in this psalm. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." So he was a shepherd, and so he likened the Lord unto a shepherd. Says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Why? He sustains me. He provides for me. He protects me. He speaks to me. He leads me. He guides me. There's a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And so he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." Got to be refreshed. "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You're going to have to walk through some things in your life. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? David says, "For thou," referring to the Lord, who is a shepherd, "you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now let me stop here. He says, "I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. I'll fear no calamity. I'll fear no epidemic. I'll fear no pandemic." So he realized that the shepherd of his soul is with him. And the question is, do you really believe that the Lord is with you and that he really is your shepherd? And are you allowing him to shepherd you? We're dealing with a relationship. So it says, "I'll fear no evil." We're living in a time right now during this crisis that we are in throughout the world, dealing with the COVID-19. We're dealing with the coronavirus that's spreading like wildfire across the nations, and it's getting worse and worse. It's bad. And so we're getting all the news reports on what's going on throughout the world in geographical areas, how it's just increasing. People are dying, and people are in fear of their life. They're closing down stores and jobs and social activities. Schools is closing down, businesses and closes, churches have to close down. And so people have to isolate themselves to protect themselves. And so, and I believe that you ought to do those things. Sanitize, social distancing is all for your protection. Okay? And so, but David says here, "I will fear no evil." Now, all the reports there that we're getting on the news media, whatever channel you listen to, it's the increase of bad news. Dealing with this crisis and this epidemic, and people are getting caught up into so much fear that they are literally losing it. Long lines in stores just to get some food and toilet paper, what have you. You got to have that to survive, stuff to sustain you through this process. People are down and depressed, but people are panicking. Their hearts is full of fear. They don't know what to do. They have a sense of hopelessness. Because this crisis, they don't know if they're going to get corona or not. I don't know if I'm going to die or not. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to my family, my wife, my kids? And and I can understand it's a sincere concern. But David says here, he makes a personal statement about himself. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." David knew that if God is with you, because David was with his sheep, he took care of his sheep. And he knew that the Lord God cared for him more than he actually cared for his sheep. But he cared for his sheep, no doubt about it. And so the Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is with you. I'm speaking specifically right now to believers who really believe in Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the unique Son of God, the very one who suffered and died on the cross for you and I, who shed his blood for us, who was buried and rose again, who is alive forevermore, the very one who's been inaugurated by the Father as your great high priest, the one who's alive forevermore in a resurrected, glorified body, who's now currently seated at the right hand of the Father, who ever lives to make intercession for you. That's what he's doing right now. God has not forgotten about you. God knows all about this crisis. He knows about this epidemic and this pandemic and the panic and the fear that people are going through and the sense of hopelessness that they are experiencing and go through. But for you who are believers in Christ, do you really rest in faith, totally trusting your great shepherd who cares for you? He's with you. And because he's with you, he is for you, and he's behind the scenes working all things together for your good. But you get the news of this epidemic. I hear all the news, too. I get all the reports. But I am at such a perfect peace. I don't even worry about the corona. I'm not worried about all the fools. That God will sustain me. He is my shepherd. He is your shepherd. He is going to take care. He's obligated to take care, and he's going to do that. That's what he's going to do. But you're running everywhere and going to all these different people talking what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do this, but you don't even go to your shepherd. You say you believe in the Lord. You say you trust God. He's with you. You need to take time out to pause, hit the pause button, and get in the presence of your shepherd, the shepherd of your soul, because he's there for you. He's with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He's right there. Now, all the reports that we're getting is bad. It's bad news. And it's just creating more and more fear and more panic. But for the believer in Christ, the scripture says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. See, when your mind has been renewed by the word of God and you know who the Lord God is and that he is your great shepherd, he is your heavenly Father, he loves you, he's for you, he's with you, you'll be fixated upon him. My mind is stayed on him. Why? I trust in him. I trust what? In his word. I trust that he's faithful to what he said he will do. He will sustain us. He will lead you through the process of what we're going through in this world. Now, we're going to go to a passage over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. All right, we're going to deal with this. Go back over this text again because I want to dig a little deeper in this particular text. Very powerful text. Now, if you have your Bible, please turn there. If you don't, just write it down, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When you get time, I would like for you to read that over and over. Just read that chapter over and over and over. It's very powerful. Now, I will fear no evil. We face evil. We face calamity. We face crisis. And the logical sensory perception is to fear, is to get over into doubt and hopelessness. But for the believer who trusts in the Lord our God, who is our shepherd, there's no need to fear. He really is with you. The conviction of your faith rested upon the authority and the revelation of his word to you. Now, I want to look at something in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you had King Jehoshaphat, all right, and he reigned over Judah and Jerusalem. And so he has set order in the kingdom. And so we're going to start at verse 1. I'll just read on through. We probably do a lot of reading tonight. So I want you to really tune in because this message is designed to really refresh you and strengthen your faith. And so they faced a little situation. Well, I shouldn't say a little. It was a really big situation here that would strike fear in the heart of any person. But watch this. I want you to listen to this. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now, the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and then it says, and with them other beside the Ammonites, that was Mount Seir, the Edomites. These people, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Edomites, they were so vile and so wicked. They practiced all forms of abomination, serving even Molech, a deity, of which they would even offer their little babies, infant babies, sizzle them on a brazen altar to burn them alive, sizzle them alive as an offering to their God. Do you think they would care about you? So these were very vile and very wicked people. And they had increased in number so much. It was just multitudes and multitudes of them, evil people, very wicked in nature, thought, and practice. They came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So now Jehoshaphat is a king ruling in Judah and Jerusalem. And so they are greatly outnumbered by this mob of wicked, evil people coming to destroy them. So it says in verse 2, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So, now Jehoshaphat got all Judah and Jerusalem in order. So these wicked, vile people, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Edomites, is coming now against Jehoshaphat to what? To battle. So they're coming to battle. They're not coming just to be nice. They're coming to battle. Why? They want to wipe them off and take over their land. And so some had got some news. So he had the news reporters. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, so the news reporters came. And it says, there cometh a great multitude against you. It's a crisis. It's a pandemic. And so it's natural to get over into fear. So scripture says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to do what? Seek the Lord. You got all these news reporters. Whatever channel you listen to, Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel whatever the channels it may be in whatever state you may live in, all right, all these news reporters is reporting some bad news that's causing hysteria, hopelessness, a sense of being lost, and people are truly afraid, and they are just really losing it. But Jehoshaphat, the scripture says, he feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Wow, that's powerful. Who are you seeking? Everybody is seeking. Everybody else going, this person, that person, but you're not seeking the Lord. He knew who to go to. When it says he set himself to seek the Lord, get a grip on yourself. Get in God's presence. God is greater than the pandemic. He's greater than the hysteria. He's greater than the coronavirus. He's greater than anything that you could ever face in your life. This is absolutely nothing to the Lord God Almighty, the omnipotent, all-powerful, the omniscient, God who knows all things, the omnipresent, God who's everywhere at one and the same time, the all-wise God who makes every right judgment under every situation. His wisdom is so superior than ours. He knows exactly what he's doing. And God allowed this to happen, but God is about to show his power and his glory. See, when the hour is just before the sunrise, you have to understand that God is sovereignly in control. He knows what he's doing. But the thing is, I'm going to get back to this text, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. The word Lord there comes from the Hebraic word Jehovah. It means the self-existent eternal God, which means he always existed. There was never a time when he was not. Our minds can't comprehend that, but he knew who to go to. He set himself to seek the self-existent eternal God and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He told all of them, humble yourselves with fasting. Nobody eat anything. And watch this, verse 4. And Judah gathered themselves together to what? Ask help of the Lord. They realized they need the Lord's help. Do you realize that you need the Lord's help in this hour? In consideration of the nature of what this nation is facing, what every person is facing, the fear, the hopelessness, the crisis, the evil, we need the Lord's help. And you need to cry out to the Lord God Almighty. So Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. So they had to get in God's presence. Okay? Now, verse 5 says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation. He was in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, where he stood in the house of the Lord before the new court. So now you have to understand, this house called the temple, it's called the house of God. It's called the house of the Lord. It's the Old Testament temple. That temple is the temple that Solomon had built. Now, why did Jehoshaphat get Judah and Jerusalem together, tell them to fast, and come seek the Lord? Come and get in God's presence. We have to get to God's house. We got to go to where God is. Why? Why did he do that? He knew exactly what to do when the crisis arose. He knew what to do when the pandemic struck. He knew what to do when all the news reporters came and gave him this news that would shake anybody up. This nation is shook up. Churches are shook up. Businesses are shook up. Homes, schools, jails, prisons, juveniles. Everything, the whole world is shook up right now. See, but when you got the Lord God as your shepherd, your mind stayed on him and you trust in him, he gives you a perfect peace. I'm not shook up about nothing, for God is with me. I will fear no evil. Now, I do take precautions. I take all my sanitation. I do with all my stuff. I do all my herbal sanitation, protect myself, social distancing. I do that. However, through the process of time, I am trusting God for his hand of protection on my life. I'm trusting God that he's going to sustain me through the process, what I need to sustain me. I may not have all the luxuries that I desire. I may even lose some of those things. I may not even have as much as money as I had before, but God will sustain me. He'll make sure that I am sustained through the process. And here's the thing about it. I want to mention this, that for me, I'm so assured and got such a peace in my heart and my soul. If I was to die right now, I will be with the Lord. I'm with the Lord. I'm with him right now, and then I'll be gone, and I'll be with him where he is. So whether we live, whether we die, we are the Lord's. Now, I don't know when I'm going to go. I don't want to go anytime soon. I don't believe I'm going to go anytime soon. But I don't know when I'm going to depart this life. I don't know how I'm going to depart this life. I would like to just go to sleep, close my eyes, and wake up in heaven. Wouldn't that be nice? But I don't know. But nevertheless, we suffer in this world. In this body, we groan. So we have pains, and we go through some things in this life also. We face tribulation, hardships, difficulties, and evils and calamities just like anyone else. But I got a perfect peace through the process of this. Why? Because I trust in the Lord. My mind is on him and what he said and what he promised. So now here in 2 Chronicles, there came some that told Jehoshaphat the bad news, intimidating news that would cause a hysteria. They'll cause him to be unsettled, as it were. But he set himself and said, I've got to get in God's presence, and did just that. Now, I want you to notice, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, he says, and this is what he says, O Lord God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are you not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Well, he recognized God as the sovereign God who's in control of all things. And in your hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand you? No one can stand against you. Are you not our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of Israel, and you gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwelt in that land and have built you a sanctuary in that land for your name. And they said, if when evil or calamity cometh upon us as the sword, that's judgment of death, or judgment, or pestilence, all kind of diseases, or famine, we stand before this house, that's that temple, and in your presence, that's coming to God's presence. Thank you, Jesus. For your name is in this house, and we cry unto you in our affliction, then you will hear and help. Now, Jehoshaphat, he knew the promise of God. Here's the thing. Before the crisis came up, before the news reporters came to Jehoshaphat and said, listen, a great multitude, man. Oh, man, it's all around. They're coming against you to battle, to take over the land. Man, the corona's coming out. Oh, man, the bubonic plague, the Ebola, all this stuff is coming out, man. What you gonna? He knew I got to get in God's presence. I got to get all of Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. Why? Because God made a promise that when his people would humble themselves and pray and seek his face, that is, get in his presence, that he, and they turn from their wicked ways, they would humble themselves. God said, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I will heal their land. And then he said, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 15, he says, my eyes are open and my ears are, my eyes are open, my ears are attent unto the prayers that is made in this place. For I have chosen and sanctified this place for my name. Amazing. That temple that Solomon built under the old covenant, it's the old covenant. I'm in new covenant now. Ooh, I got a better covenant. But that covenant, God blessed him, and God always honored his word. He was married to Israel as his people. And God put his name upon them, and they bore the name of God. And so when Israel had went astray, judgment would come. And God said, listen, if my people, listen, will humble themselves and they pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and will heal their land. When they come into this house, that's that temple Solomon built, and they cry unto me in their affliction, I will hear and I will help them. That's what God said. Jehoshaphat knew the promise of God. So when the crisis news came, when the pandemic news came, when all the hysteria news came, Jehoshaphat knew we got to go seek God. We got to go to his house, get in his presence, and take his word to him and bring his word into his house. Don't go complaining. Don't go murmuring. Don't go into fear, into shock. Get in God's presence and take his word. Why? Because when you get a hold of the word of God, it then encourages the faith that you have in the Lord your God. As you start speaking, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand you? None. We got to break in just a moment, but I'm going to keep talking. So I'm going to keep going. We got to break in just a moment. But anyway, so then he reminded God, you are our God. Father, your hand is so powerful that the giants that was in the land of Canaan, you drove them out and you gave that land to your people Israel. They dwelt in that land. They built a sanctuary for you. And you said that when evil comes and your people cry unto you, you will hear and help. Lord, we are in your presence, and now we need you to help us. Woo, what a blessing. How to get God's word, how to get God's attention, not through moaning and groaning and crying and fear and doubt and unbelief. You got to go to God with his word. You have to go to God in faith, trusting what he said, because God will watch over his word to perform his word. Learning how to truly rest your faith solely upon the authority and the revelation of what God has said that we have in the Holy Scripture. All right, now, so then he says this. I like what he says here in verse 11. Well, let me go back to verse 10. So, well, I got to pause. I hear the music, so I have to stop right now. We're going to pick back up right after the break. Stay tuned in because I want to break this down to you. All right? So we'll be right back after the break. Thank you for tuning in to The Final Authority. God bless.
Come on, young people. Bless the King. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, just raise it up and say, wherever. Whatever you've been going through, tell them. Tell them, God says, even now, the struggle is over. Tell them, you've been in this place long enough. Tell them, tell them. I know your mountainside has been rough. But we came to declare that the struggle is over. Just one more time. You can just tell your neighbor, wherever you are, whatever you've been going through, say, wherever you are. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Whatever
you've been going on. God says it. God says it. The struggle is over. Just tell them, you've been in that place long enough, say it. But y'all, the struggle is over.
Come on.
Introducing T-Mobile's most powerful signal, reaching farther than ever before. Wherever you go, you'll find us working to create the most advanced wireless network in history. With more engineers, more towers, more coverage. Connecting big cities, connecting small towns. It's a network that gives you because coverage means connection. We're with you. Because moments are for sharing. We're with you. Because life can take you almost anywhere. T-Mobile is with you. With every engineer, every tower, and every innovation. No signal goes farther or is more reliable in keeping you connected.
On. Okay. Well, the song that you heard a moment ago from the choir, not the last song from T-Mobile, but the song before that by the Youth Choir for Christ, it's called The Struggle Is Over. Again, that was the Youth for Christ Choir. Yes, that struggle. Wow. We all go through struggles, and we'll go through struggles throughout this life, and one day there's come a day which there'll be no more struggle. The Bible says God's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, for the former things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. Wow, what a day it's going to be. What a day of rejoicing. All right, well, let's get back into 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But again, I want to mention that if you have a question or you want to make a comment, please call the show. The area code is 516-531-9623. And the moment you're connected, when you're ready to ask your question or make your comment, then press the number one on your phone. My producer will connect you to my live show, and I will welcome you to the final authority. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, so we're dealing with Jehoshaphat in the house of God, in God's presence, and he's praying to God. He took God's word to him. So God gave a promise. The promise was in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. God gave that promise. And Jehoshaphat knew that promise. You see, you don't wait to go to God when all hell break out, when crisis strike, when you get bad news, when the news reporters is reporting all this stuff that is causing pandemic and hysteria and fear, and people get over into this hysteria and hopelessness. You need to be in God's word when everything is going fine. Don't wait till the last second. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? A lot of times you don't know what to do because you don't know the word. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. So you have to have your spiritual sustenance. See, because the word of God will sustain you through the process of what you're going through. So, okay, so Jehoshaphat, he knew the word. He knew what God said. He knew that God was with him. He knew that God was for him. And he knew the promise that God had given through Solomon for his people. So, now watch this. So he's praying. And so he's in God's presence. So after he prayed, the word of God, what God had said, what God had promised, he said, Lord, you said if when evil cometh upon us, verse 9, upon us as the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house, that's the house of God that was literally built in the Old Testament, and in your presence, for your name is in this house, and we cry unto you in our affliction, then you will hear and help. To cry unto God, which means to voice unto God what you are facing as his people and what he has promised that he will do when you cry unto him in his presence. So this is why he had to get in God's presence. we get in everybody's presence but God. And we want God to move on our behalf, but we won't go get in his presence and we won't take his word to him. And most of us probably don't even know the word. Man, you need to know the word. When you go to God with his word. Why? Because he watches over his word to perform his word. So the word is what God honors. God upholds and he honors his word. God is not a man that he should repent, nor the son of man that he should. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? God will always make good on his word. That's Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God will always, he will never change his mind about his word. His word is sure. His word is steadfast. His word is faithful. And he watches over that word. God will never let his word fall to the ground. So shall his word be that goes out of his mouth. It will prosper. It will prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. It will accomplish what he pleased and prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. So wherever God sent his word, he sent his word to his people. He sent his word to you. Will you get a hold of the word? Will you hold on the word? And when something comes up like a crisis, a pandemic, will you take God's word to him? Cry unto God in your affliction. So then he says, Lord, you said you will hear us and you will help us. Then in verse 10, he says, and now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come cast us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Woo, they're in God's presence. Now, eyes up on God. What? What do you mean? Our eyes is upon what God has promised, his promised word to them. He's a covenant-keeping God. He's in covenant union with them. They are on God's word, and they're bringing God's word to him. They are on that land that God promised them. They are the people of God. God said he would hear and help. Now they're in God's presence, and now, Lord, our eyes are on you. Are your eyes on God? What does that mean? I'm going to watch what God's going to do now. I done heard from the news reporters. I done heard all of the stuff on the internet, YouTube, Facebook, social media, and all that stuff. They done put all the stuff out there. Okay, cool. I'm going to go to God. I just want to hear from God now. I done heard from y'all. I need to hear from my father now. I need to hear from my shepherd now. I need to hear from my great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I do that? I go to the word of God. I have the Holy Spirit that indwells me. Lord, it's the blessing. Woo, nothing like having perfect peace and a joy unspeakable that you can't even explain. So watch this. So it says, oh, our God, will you not judge them? We realize our inability that we don't have no might against this great company. Well, they were greatly outnumbered. And so all the multitude, thousands upon thousands of these really vile, evil people that's wicked, that's coming to destroy us, we don't have the force to even combat them, oh God. We're greatly outnumbered. But our eyes are upon you. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. You know what to do. We're in your presence. You are our God. We are your people. And then it said, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. All of them. All of Judah. Here are the covenant people of God. They're standing before who? The self-existent eternal God. You have to understand what's happening here. Not only Jehoshaphat, but all of Judah stood before the Lord, what? With their wives. All the men had their wives, their children, and their little infants. They're all in God's presence. You got to get your whole household in God's presence. You got to get your whole household in God's presence for them to hear the word that you're bringing before God on their behalf. So it goes on and says, they stood before the Lord. Man, are you standing before the Lord? Are you standing for people with bad reports all the time? Just really diminishing your heart, causing your heart to melt. In unbelief, an evil heart of unbelief. No, I got a blessed heart of belief and faith and trust that God will sustain me through this process. God will provide. He knows how to do it, and he will do it. That's his promised word. So he says, then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Woo, it's amazing. You get in God's presence, you take his word to him, the Spirit of God moves on your behalf. So the Spirit of God came in the midst of the congregation. And he said, this is what Jahaziel said by the Spirit, hearken, ye all Judah, listen up and take heed, all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith Jehovah. Now we get to hear from God. Woo, I done heard from the news reporters. Let me hear from God now. Thus saith the self-existent eternal God. I say this to you. Be not afraid nor dismayed. Don't be down and out and discouraged. Don't be afraid. Don't fall apart. Don't go into hysteria. Don't be going fighting folks over toilet paper at the store. Don't be pushing people out the aisle trying to get all that. I got you. Don't be afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Why? For the battle is not yours, but God's. Woo! God said he got this. Woo! I done heard from God now. He said he got this. I believe him. I trust him. I throw the weight of all my faith upon the authority of his promised word to me. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm not going to lack during this time. Yeah. I don't like what's going on. Yeah, some of my comforts are taken away. All those things. But that's okay. Let me suffer a while. It'll grow me up. It'll mature me. It's only, see, if you never have any weight resistance, how could you build faith? If you never have anything you go through, if you never, how could you say you are a warrior if you never had a battle? Come on, man. Warrior got to have some battles. You got to have some bruises, some wounds on you, man, to fight. Get through this. This strengthens you. It builds you up. So God is about to do a display of his glory on his church. The church is not going down. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, I'm a part of that church. I'm a member of that church, the body of Christ. I'm not talking about a denomination like Church of God, Christ, Methodist, Lutheran, Baptist, Presbyterian, or what have you. Roman Catholic. I'm not talking about all that. I'm talking about the fact that I know the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the unique Son of God, as my Lord and Savior. And the Spirit had joined me into Christ, so I'm a member of the spiritual church, the body of Christ, of which Christ is the head. God's not going to leave me. I have this covenant relationship with God through Christ. Oh, I'm blessed. The battle is not yours, but God's. God got this. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Woo! Ain't that? Now, that's some good news. That God got you. God got you. He got your back. He got everything. Don't worry about anything. Okay, so now what I want to do is I want to a little forward. And he says in verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord shall be with you. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Listen, listen. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still. Stop running around, going everywhere, in the hysteria, just losing it, hopeless. That's not the true people of God, that God wants you to do that as his child. He's your shepherd. You shall not want. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. You walk through the shadow of crisis, epidemic, pandemic, or you facing the corona, all these different things. Fear no evil. Why? Because God's with you. God got the battle. He got this. You don't have to even fight in this matter. All you got to do is rest and trust him. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Set yourself and stand ye still. Sometimes you got to just stand still in God's presence. You're running your mouth. You're running over here. You're running over there. All because you got caught up in the hysteria based upon the news reporters that came down. There cometh a great battle against you from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And now you're just losing it. No, set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation. See how God brings deliverance. See how God preserves you and protects you. Salvation is deliverance. It is a preservation. It is a rescue. Watch how God rescued out of all this. Just as much as God rescued the Hebrew boys that was thrown in the fire, God rescued them while they were in the midst of the fire and then brought them out. God will allow you to be in the fire and bring you out, and there's no smell of smoke even on you that you ever been in the fire. That's how God does. The battle's not yours, but it's God's. Why are you fearing? Why are you running into hysteria, believer? That's not for you. Stand still and see the salvation. Watch what God does. We're living right now in a time in 2020. Here it is. This virus is just taking folk out left and right. And we get more and more reports how it's just increasing rapidly. Oh, it may be dark. Weeping may endure for a night, but oh, joy comes in the morning. Oh, the darkest hour is just before the sun rise. The sun is going to rise. Ooh, rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is going to rise and shine upon you. I believe that. As the true believers, those who truly believe the living God through the person of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, those who are going to rise up and shine to the glory of God. God wants us to walk as children of the light. I'm not in darkness, so I don't walk in darkness. I'm not groping in darkness. I'm not in a hysteria. I'm not into doubt and unbelief and going nutty and stuff like that, just losing it. I can't do that. I believe in the Lord my God. So, God told them, you're not going to need to fight. Now, watch this. Now, this is very powerful. So, we see then in verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed after he got a word from God. He bowed his face, bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. When was the last time you worshiped the Lord? Just worship the Lord. What? He got this. Oh, I don't have to fight in this battle. He going to do that. You know what? Let me just worship him right now because he got this. Woo, I don't have to fight. I don't have to worry. I don't have to get in hysteria. I don't have to act like I'm losing. I have to get into the spirit of fear. I have a sound mind. God has blessed me with his spirit that lives in me. I got faith resting upon the word of God. Man, I'm rejoicing and celebrating. Man. No, I don't always feel good about everything. I may not be happy about a lot of circumstances, but I'm full of joy because joy is not based upon my circumstances. Happiness is based upon what happens then. But my circumstances, my joy is not based on that. So I have a joy from heaven because I have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm washed from all my sins in the blood of Christ. I'm redeemed by the blood of Christ to the Father forever. I'm robed in the righteousness of Christ. I have everlasting life. I'm a citizen of heaven. And no matter what happens to my fleshly body, I'm going to be with the Lord anyway. So let me just keep rejoicing. Woo! Even in the midst of this crisis, I rejoice. I'm happy. I'm doing exceptionally outstanding, awesome, because I trust God. Now, do I magnify the stuff I go through? No, I ain't talking about the stuff I'm going through. I go, okay, I don't like it. But you know what? I love God. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm holding fast to the word of God. Woo! I believe God. Thank you, G. I'm blessed. Worship God. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we give you glory. We honor you, oh God. You're so good and you're so great. I worship you, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, we're going to read a little more. Right now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to pause for a moment. We have a caller that's called in. Caller, welcome to the Final Authority. God bless you. Your question or comment, please.
Hi, is that me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Hi, Pastor, Ambassador. So I had a question about a couple things. The first one being in 2 Chronicles 20, it clearly states that, you know, it just seems like as the people of God, like Jehoshaphat as a king, we're all fearing just like he did. I just feel like as Christians, we're not really, maybe we're seeking him, but like, I don't feel like we're all fasting. I don't feel like we're all on one accord. Like, what do you think it would take for us as a nation to really get, I feel like, do you feel like this is what it takes as a nation? Because this is Judah. This is a whole people, but you know, we're all a whole group of people as Christians. Like, shouldn't we all be fasting right now? Shouldn't we all be praying? Shouldn't we all be on more one accord? Are we a little bit too divided right now? Like, what do you think we should be doing? What can we do to get better coordinated in this way? Is this necessary, or is it all just an individual-based thing?
Well, I think it's both. I think it's both individually and collectively, because you have to do something individually along with the collection of the body of Christ. Now, different pastors may deal with things differently, and a person may, you know, handle certain things based upon how their leadership or ministry that they're under will handle it. But fasting is good. That fasting basically is humbling.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hold on. I have another question, but hold on. I'm going to try to, yeah. So I'm sorry. I just have another question. I'm going to put it out because I have so much chat happening behind me. But
Okay, go ahead.
If I'm the only person in my home that's a Christian, what can I do? Because I know that you mentioned, we need to get our children, our whole household in God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
How can I do that when I am fighting people in my home that have don't know God or don't choose to know God?
Okay.
And it's very scary in a time like this when you don't have that. So what would you recommend as a woman of God that I can do at this time?
Okay, very good question. I'm going to answer that question. We'll be closing off in just a moment. So I'm going to try to hurry up and ask the question because the music will come on because the show goes off at 7 o'clock. So as a nation, number one, the message is directed to the church, the body of Christ. So you have the nation of America or the world. Well, not everybody is a believer in Christ. So I'm specifically addressing the believers to honor the authority of God's word, which is God's final authority to us. And so as a nation, well, I hope everybody would, you know, honor God and do the right thing, but not everybody's going to honor the same God that we honor and believe in. So we want to give the message specifically to the church, the body of Christ. So basically the message is to the body of Christ. So when you read the Bible, basically we read the New Testament, you're going through the writings of Paul, those messages are to the church, the body of Christ. He didn't necessarily address the general population. He did when he preached the gospel to them, but when it comes to the letters of instruction on how to live and so on, honoring God in your life, honoring your relationship with one another, honor your wife, honor your husband, raising children, all those things in the word of God. But now, fasting can be an individual thing. The Spirit of God would have to bring a conviction in your heart to fast, because in the New Testament, it does not tell you specifically that you're required to fast for a period of days or a particular day. Or how long? So you follow the conviction of the Spirit. Now, me personally, as a case in point, I fast often. Sometimes I'll do a specific fast specifically for a purpose relative to my relationship with God. Sometimes I'll just fast just to cleanse my body. Okay, so it's different at different times. But what can we do? I think the main thing is to get in God's word and hear from God, get in God's presence. So as a going to the question about your being the only one in the family or in the household that's a Christian, then I think it's important that you just pray. As a believer, you get in God's presence. And so you may not get them in the presence, but the point being, you get in God's presence yourself. In other words, you go into prayer. God, because you love God and you're called according to his purpose, God is behind the scenes working all things together for your good. And so you just make intercession. If you can connect with other fellow believers of like precious faith and y'all can pray together when you can, that's good. You know, when we can do that, you may call them on the phone or text them or whatever, and you do that because right now there's, you know, social distancing. You know, you have to protect yourself and be careful and make sure everything is fine. But again, in terms of the question of your getting your family together, well, they may not seek God right now. They may not have that kind of faith, but you do. You just go on intercession for them. But because you asked that question, I'll make prayers up on your behalf also and joining you in faith and making prayers for your household. But I think you did ask a very good question. But the message is mainly to the church, the body of Christ, and you take what applies to you and you operate in that. Because not everybody in a household is Christians and have faith and trust in God. But you do, then God's going to honor your faith. Can you hear me? Okay, I don't know if she's still there or not.
I have, I can hear you.
Okay.
I have so much.
Okay.
They're not a Christian. I don't have Christian people in my family. I'm trying to mute you so that they don't You don't hear those bad words. I'm so sorry. But thank God bless you, Pastor. Everything
you
said.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling. Yes.
Thank you so much. Okay.
My delight. Okay, so my producer let me know I got a few more minutes. I can go on beyond the time, so I'm going to go a little further here, and then I'll be closing out in just a moment. But let me do this. I would like for, if you have a pen and paper, please get a pen and paper. I want you to write these scriptures down. I want you to write it down because I did go over them last week, but I'm not going to have time to go over them today. I did already, so I want you to just write them down. Psalms chapter 23. I'll take another caller in just a second. Psalms 23, 1 through 6. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 and 13. Okay? Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. And Psalms 27, verse 1. I got more, but let me pause right now real quickly. I have another caller who have called in. Welcome to the Final Authority. God bless you. Question, comment, please.
Ambassador Robinson, thank you so much. This is Brother Nate, man. You've been my mentor.
Hey.
Thank you for this Monday night word, and you standing on the word and doing what the words say do, encouraging us. Thank you for standing on Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpened iron, so a man sharpened the countenance of his friend. Thank you so much, my brother.
Oh, brother, man, I really thank you, man, for calling in, man. It's just a blessing to hear from another man of God who's committed and dedicated to the authority of the word of God and to the glorification of Christ, a man who's a servant of Christ who does the will of God from the heart. And it's just so good
Amen.
To get a call from you, my brother. I really appreciate you. Thank you for that, man, for that call in. That's encouraging to me, my brother. Man, what a blessing.
Be blessed. Thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, Pastor Nate Rankin, a brother that I love. Back in the 80s, I was an elder, and I was a teacher of the word, of which I still am now, but he was one of the ones that was in my class, and I really appreciate that, brother. Okay, so so Psalms 27, verse 1. Also, you might want to write down Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. All right, let's deal with the fact that Christ says, you know, don't take no thought what you're going to drink, eat, or wear, you know, that you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added. God's going to sustain you with what you need to get you through this process right now. Trust God, believe God, hold to the final authority, which is God's word. And the final authority is about a teaching of the Holy Scriptures to encourage you to submit to the authority of God's word, which is God's final authority to you. Don't give more value to the news reporters over the authority of the word of God. Give God his rightful place as the final authority in your life, in your household, in your ministry. Well, we will pick up on next week. We probably have a different subject. Maybe we might continue on that. Please know. But thank you for tuning in to the Final Authority. Again, we air live every Monday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Final Authority. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. And we will see you next week. Final Authority. God bless.
You're listening to the Love Radio Network worldwide. LoveRadioNetwork.com. Educational, inspirational, trending topics, and the hottest hits. with award-winning talk show host and personality. And you made us number one. Thank you. Love Radio Network, building a network of love.